In my church at home, I was in the church in the leadership team and in the youth group. And yeah, then I decided to join the ship. And then she said, yeah, you like Jonah. But if this would be true, then Australia is Nineveh, I think. No, just joking, it's not true. It's not true. I prayed for what can I do in my time, and I God showed me the ship, and then I prepared for the ship. And in my preparation time, I heard the first time about the least rich people who never heard about Jesus Christ. And there are more than 3 billion people around in this world who never heard about the gospel, about this hope we have, who is helping us in our sorrows. And today, I want to talk about Romans 1, verse 16. It says, and I'm reading from the NIV. It's okay, I hope. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For I am not ashamed of the power of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. And yes, so shame is a big and a negative word. And maybe you hear the wording shame on you or something else. It's always is negative. And when I googled the definition of to be ashamed, is feeling guilty or embarrassed about something you have done or about a quality in your character. But what is shame in the Bible? In the Bible, there are a lot of stories about shame, and shame is actually the first feeling who is presented in the Bible. It's in Genesis 3, when God created the world, and then Adam and Eve, they were ashamed because they were naked and God came and saw them. And another story is Zacchaeus. He was the tax collector. And when Jesus came, he went on a tree first to see him because he was small. But on the other side, that no one can see him because he was so hated from the people. And another story is the prodigal son. He ran away from his home. He spent all the money he had, and then he came back full of shame. And I just picked out 3 stories about shame. And what is common in these stories? In these stories, it's common that they did something what is not right in God's eyes. Is the first thing. So they, Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree. Zacchaeus, he got more than he was used to. And no, not what he was used to. What he should have. And yeah, the prodigal son, he spent all the money for party stuff and then he went home. And another thing is, they all did it secretly. It's always secretly. So even the prodigal son, he went back to another city and then he came back. Yeah. And I want to ask you, is the gospel something what is not right in God's eyes? Or is the gospel a thing we have to hide in front of God? You know, Australia and Germany are free countries. We can share the gospel. We can give it out. And we have good news. It's something really, really good, or it's the best thing we have here on earth. And I remember when I joined the ship, my prayer we have a prayer partner on board to pray. And my prayer partner, Nico was from Australia. And you know, he had something really cool, Vegemite. And I don't know why. How can you be proud of this? But he was so, oh, you have to try this, you have to try it. And I heard in the past it was medicine, but yeah. Yeah. And then we came here, and everyone, this Vegemite, you have to try Vegemite. So we are proud of something. But then we are on the other side, we are ashamed of sharing the gospel. I remember a story in Germany. I was 18 years old and on a birthday party. and I was known that I'm a Christian because I shared every day a Bible verse in my story. And then on this party was so fun, and then we had a conversation in the kitchen, and someone asked me, why are you sharing this Bible verses every day? And I said, yeah, because I believe in God. And then he said, do you really believe this? And then I turned red, maybe like I am now. And I turned red, and then I just went out of this kitchen, of this place. And in this evening, I felt so bad, and I prayed to God, and I promised him I will never be running away from a conversation like this. Yeah. And yeah, is this shame thing is, I mean, Paul wrote it with a purpose. It's not that it's a new thing that we are ashamed of it. It was almost 2,000 years ago too. Yeah, and I had this question, why are we afraid of talking about the gospel? Why do we have sometimes this feeling? And the first thing who came in my mind was that we are thinking we're losing in discussions. When we have a discussion with someone, that we are losing, and then we are putting the word of God in the wrong way. And therefore, we have a Bible verse, Matthew 10, verse 19. It says, "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." So we have this superpower. We have the Holy Spirit who is speaking through us to the people. And when we are in discussions and we don't know exactly, we can trust on him. We can trust on the Holy Spirit. And another thing is that in our Western culture, and I think it's exactly the same in Germany than in Australia, is that we lost the meaning of the gospel. That that is such a good thing, and we need to share it. We have this, is so big thing. And I have a story. There was a country, and he had two kings. One was good, and one was a bad king. And the good king, he gave out coins for people, if they served him, he gave out coins so they can buy more. And these coins were golden, and he gave them out. And then there was a bad king, and he gave out coins too. They looked exact the same, but they are just plastic and without any value. And he gave out a lot of these coins. And the people, they were so happy to have these coins, but in the end, just the golden ones with value, they were good. The others, they want to pay with these coins, but was not working. And I think this is exact what it is here in our country. We have we know a lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. You know, they know a lot of the gospel and they know the stories, but they don't know how it is to be in a relationship with Jesus. And they declare themselves as Christians a lot of times in Germany. They declare themselves as Christians, but they think to be a Christian is about to be a good person. And to be a good person is not wrong. I mean, it's a good thing to be a good person. But to be a good person because you are doing good, that is moralism. And what is the problem with the moralism? The thing is, with being good is, I'm being good because I'm not as bad as the other people around me. It's like a football team is good. We watched on the Anzac Day the football game. It was cool. Yeah. A football team is just good because it's better than the other teams around. Or we have the soccer. a soccer team is just good because it's better than the other teams around. And yeah, if we are thinking like this, that brings contempt and proudness. So I was giving so much in the offering. Wow, I'm good. So Or I was helping in the, or I was playing here instrument. Wow, so good. So good, because no one else is playing. I'm playing. And, or if you help, for the barbecue, then, wow, so good. Yeah. And, yeah, on the other side, it brings that brings contempt, because you say, yeah, someone else is not as good as me. And it brings the proudness with me, because I say, I am good. I'm doing some things just to feel good. And there's a little problem with the pride, because pride says, what I have and what I am is from my own. I made it by my own. And the Bible mentions pride always as something negative. And we as Christians, can we really say it's out of my own what I'm doing? And I would say, so we can do anything for the country we are living in. We can do anything for the family we are living in. We can do anything for our genes. And we as Christians, we know who gave us this life, who gave us our gifts we have. And so we can use our gifts, but to be proud of these gifts is a little bit difficult, because we know we have it from Jesus. And if someone is thinking he or she is better than someone else, that is always not good for the relationships, because when I have my friend and I'm thinking, I'm better than him, that brings always a little bit competition. And if we are trying to be the best person or to be a good person, we are following rules, maybe set by our own, or we're following the law who is given us from the Bible, then we are under the law. And Romans 3 verse 10 says, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. And I think it's exactly what we have. And remember when Jesus came to earth, his discussions, they were not with the bad people around. They were with the people they thought they are good persons, with the Pharisees. And when I talked with Oli about about what I'm sharing today, and then he told me that you are going through Galatians, and really I prepared this sermon before I met Oli, and imagine what is standing in Galatians 3 verse 10 to 14. It's so fun. There is standing, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So we can't climb to heaven on a ladder of goodness. There is something who had to come down and to bring us up. And Jesus Christ, he came because we can't follow the law always. And he knew that we are not good. And to be honest, we know that we are not always good. And if you meet someone who thinks he's always good, or she, then keep attention, because that's crazy. And we are not under the law anymore, because Jesus Christ came, he is risen for us. That we are saved from the law. And what a lot of people are doing now, they say, okay, I sinned, but it's not a big deal. you know, I sinned, but it's, yeah, this one lie, it's not so big. But this brings just temporary freedom. Imagine you are bleeding on your leg, and then you're taking pills that is not hurting. Then it's not hurting, it's good, but it's bleeding, it's still bleeding, you know? And it's the same when we're talking sin into better light. You can say, okay, yeah, it's not that bad. But, and the hurt is going, or if your friend's coming and say, yeah, come, it's not so big. The hurt is going, but it's still there. And yeah, I know from Germany the number of sold pills against depression and psychotic stuff is increasing from year to year. It's going up, up, up. And I think it's the same here. Yeah. And yeah, imagine behind this, there is always the devil. He is behind this, he's a liar. He wants us to feel good in the first time. You know, he wants that we are feeling safe and secure. But in the end, it's so much worse to believe this. And we Christians, we don't have the opportunity to say, yeah, sin is not a big thing. Sin is sin, is there. And we have to look into the problem. And that could be very hurtful, and it could be very, very difficult to look into the problem. And when we are forcing our sins, then we have always this voice in our head who is coming up and is saying, ah, you're so bad, you're nothing, why are you happy in your life? Why are you happy? You're nothing, you're so bad person. And on this point, the moralism is not different to the Christianity, you know. But, and there is a big, big but, we have Jesus Christ, who can bring us the reconciliation, who can bring us the peace in our heart. And yeah, how to find the reconciliation is, science says, the first thing is to take the responsibility for what you did. The next thing is feel the pain, feel the real pain. And the third thing is to give real compensation for this. And yeah, imagine we have someone who gave it to us, who gave this. We need someone who takes the responsibility. We need someone who is strong enough to take all this pain. And we need someone who is good enough to give this real compensation. And yeah, Jesus did it for us. He took the responsibility. He felt so much pain. I mean, to hang on the cross is one of the worst feelings you can have. And he made a real compensation. And I was always questioning, why do we need a cross? Because it's so bad sign. He's God, he created the earth. He could have so cool things. He could make a flower as a sign for us, you know? But why do we need this cross? And the cross is sending two big messages. First, it shows what sin is doing. Sin is destroying, even a good guy is destroying us, is going into us, as you see on the cross, through the hands, is going, yeah. And the cross shows how lost you would be in this world. And on the other side, it shows what Jesus made for us. In the words of Paul, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So the gospel is, you would be so lost, but you are so loved, you know? And yeah, Christianity, it shows what God did for us. In John 3:16, you know this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And this message is 2,000 years old, and it's not a plastic coin. And it's not the end, because the whole creation should be free. you know, and should be fulfilled. Sometimes we see that people are hungry on this earth, or there is war, and we always have this feeling, okay, this is bad. We can put it aside, we can say, yeah, it's in another world, but we always have this feeling that that is bad. And yeah, we can try to be good, and that is not wrong, but we can try to bring our heart to be good. That's what Jesus has, what Jesus is doing. He fulfills our heart and make it good and clean. Yeah. And in the end, there will be rest for us. Hebrew 4, verse 8 to 11 says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience." Wow, what a promise. We have this rest. And this is the gospel, you know? Jesus came for us, he died for us, he took all this pain, and in the end, we have this peaceful rest and eternal life. And yeah, we are ashamed of it. I would say, yeah, there is no way. And yeah, let's go out and make a difference in the world where 3 billion people don't know about him, you know, and don't know about this good news. And yeah, I don't say that everyone has to be a missionary, because the word mission is not in the Bible. It's not a word from the Bible. But 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understood slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And God was from the beginning on a sending God. You know, he was sending prophets like Josiah. He was sending angels to protect his people. And he was sending his word to earth. And in the end, he was sending his own son. God wants to build a relationship. And that's why he sent his son. John 20 verse 21 says, "And again Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.'" And yeah, then we all know the Great Commission. So the mission is to share the good news. And you can do this here. You can do this like us on the ship. And you can do this if you're going somewhere else to do the mission. And there's no difference between a Christian and a missionary. So every Christian is a missionary, you know, in your life. And yeah, I want to challenge you as a church that you are praying for, that you can send out someone overseas for a long-term mission. I want to challenge you that that we can, if every church is sending out someone to go there where the 3 billion people are living, then it would be make such a great difference. And yeah, if you're looking right and left of you, if these people heard about Jesus, you know, then you have to go somewhere else to tell about this. Yeah. Yes, that's it. So I want to pray. Yeah. Dear Lord, thank you for this church and thank you for this community. Thank you that there are people who heard about you and heard about the gospel. And yeah, please help us that we are not be ashamed of this good news you have and of this good news you have for us. And yeah, help us when people around us on our workplace or in school or wherever we are, people challenge us and coming to us and asking, why are we going to the Sunday service or something else? Yeah, that you give us the right words to say and that we can make a difference in this world and share about your hope. In your name, amen.
Love.